Brother, recently I read a book. It was called My Heart, Christ's Home, by Robert Boyd Munger, which was a short but profound book. In the book, Munger uses the analogy of the heart as a home with many rooms, each representing an area of our life. Our thoughts and desires, our motives and our actions, our time and relationships. The premise of this book is very simple. Is Christ just a visitor, or is he a true resident of our heart? In other words, is our heart Christ's dwelling? Which is the title of today's message, Our Heart, Christ's Dwelling. So I was inspired by the book and thought it would be great to take this journey with Christ and explore the rooms of our heart. And consider what we can do to make Christ's dwelling place better every day. So then let's begin. We begin at the entryway. Every home begins with a front door. And the moment we open that door to Christ, we begin a relationship with him. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Brethren, this is an invitation, an intimate invitation by the creator of the universe to come dine with us, a lasting call for fellowship with Christ. Many of us opened that door long ago when we repented and when we were baptized and received the Holy Spirit. But how often do we open that door? How often do we welcome Christ into our daily routines and our daily lives? The entryway represents the willingness to let him in. When we welcome Christ in, it's not the end of the process. It's the beginning of a shift in our mind from self-direction to being guided by Christ to dwell with the Father. As Jesus enters our home, we take him into the study or an office. And this is the place of our thoughts and our ideas and our imagination. As Christ begins looking through the books on the shelves in our office, some of them are wholesome. Others are worldly, yet others may be even harmful to us. Here, the study represents our mind. It's the center of learning, the memory, the meditation that we have. Brethren, what is it that occupies our study and our thoughts when no one is around? As we consider this question, Paul provides for us some guidance in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. You can write this down. I'll go ahead and read it. Romans 12, verse 2. Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Brethren, through the Holy Spirit, Christ desires to transform the way we think, to renew our minds, to replace fear with faith, bitterness with compassion, and pride with humility. But this transformation requires cooperation on our part. Just as we choose the books to read, the music to listen, or the media to watch, we must choose what we allow to enter into our minds. We must take every thought and make it captive to the obedience of Christ. Christ's Spirit helps us to discern truth from deception, wisdom from foolishness. And so our study should become a place where Scripture, not the world, shapes our worldview. And so now as we continue this journey through the home, we come to the dining room. This is the place of appetites and desires. It is where we satisfy what we crave, our ambitions, our goals, and our pleasures. When Christ enters this room, he finds our tastes have often been worldly. We tend to consume the things of this world rather than the things of God. But Christ does not scold us. He invites us to a better meal. Christ says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." He calls us to redirect our desires, to feast on the things that truly satisfy us. He declares, "I am the bread of life." And so when we partake of him through the word and the spirit, we satisfy an inner hunger that nothing else in this world can fill. Nothing can fill the void that's in our hearts. The indwelling of Christ's Spirit should change how or what we crave. And so over time, worldly desires lose their flavor and godly ones grow stronger and stronger. It is not that ambition or pleasure must be removed. Instead, it's that they must be reoriented. We should begin to desire what pleases Christ more than what pleases the self. And as we leave the dining room, we enter the living room. This is a quiet place of fellowship, the quiet space where we meet Christ daily. At first, we spend beautiful mornings together, meeting in prayer and study. But over time, the busyness of life causes us to neglect those moments. We push off our meetings, and over again, we turn him away. Until one day, as we rush past the living room, we see Christ sitting there waiting for us all alone. We immediately realize the truth, that even though we have been too busy for Christ, he has been there patiently waiting for us to fellowship with him every day. Brethren, this image should pierce our hearts. How many times have we put him off? I know I have many, many times. And so the world tries to fill our schedule, but if we listen closely, Christ calls us back. And so through his Spirit, Christ calls us daily, longing for communion, for deliberate moments of prayer with him, for reflection and unity with him and the Father. In John chapter 15 and verse 4, Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you." To abide means to remain, to dwell, to make our home in him as he makes his home in us. Prayer is not just communication. It is communion with God. When Christ lives in us, our prayer life becomes a meeting place for our friendship and guidance with him. This is where we study and learn to talk to him, to walk with him, to listen, to share, to rest in his presence. It is his Spirit within us that rekindles our desire to draw near every day. And so we must make our time with Christ of the highest priority above all things. And now as we leave the living room, we enter the workroom. Every home has a workroom or a garage. It's a place of tools and projects. This room represents our actions, the things we do for our friends and family and for Christ, our works, our service, our calling. At first, we recognize the many tools that we have, but there is no plan, maybe no purpose. And so we must invite Christ as our teacher to work within us, to provide direction and utilize our skills to serve for his mission and his purpose. And when we do, it's a moment that changes everything. And so Christ doesn't just dwell in our hearts to give comfort. He empowers us for service, service in the kingdom of God. And so Paul makes this very clear in Philippians 2:13. You can write this one down. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Philippians 2:13. He says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Brethren, we serve at the pleasure of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And through the Spirit, Christ gives us the strength to serve others with love and humility. The talents and tools we have are not just ours. They're his to be used for the building of his kingdom and to prepare his people. When Christ dwells in the workroom of our heart, we work together with one purpose, and that is to do God's will. Now, brethren, as we continue to walk through the home, Christ discovers a locked closet in the hall. There's a smell, an odor that seeps out from behind the door. And Christ asks us to open the door, but we resist. Maybe because we're embarrassed or ashamed of what might be behind that door. But Christ gently insists, "I can't live in a home with such a foul smell. You must clean it." And so, brethren, this is the hardest door for most of us to open. The closet symbolizes the hidden areas of sin and compromise in our lives, the habits we conceal, the grudges we nurse, the shame we have not yet confessed. Yet it is here that Christ wants to clean us the most. It is here that he wants to bring us to freedom. We are told if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The indwelling of Christ exposes and heals what we hide. He doesn't enter to condemn, but he cleanses us from our hidden sins. And so when we surrender the darkest corners of our heart, the stench of sin is replaced with the fragrance of grace. The more space we give him, the more the light directs our path. And so we begin to experience the joy of clear conscience and the peace that comes from total surrender. And so then after making our way through the home, we realize that we've been treating this house as if it's still our own. Though Christ dwells in us, we act as if we are the owner of our homes, our hearts. The truth is we must recognize Christ's sovereignty. When we are baptized, we are no longer the owner of our own heart. It becomes Christ's dwelling place. Our hearts becomes his home. Therefore, we must transfer the title over to Christ. It is this act that captures the essence of conversion. Not just belief, but full surrender to Christ. Christ cannot be a guest in a home he purchased with his own blood. Through his Spirit, he claims ownership, not to dominate us, but to dwell in love and righteousness and prepare us for the kingdom. Paul captures this beautifully in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. You can write that one down for your notes. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price?" If Christ truly dwells within our heart, it becomes a temple fit for his presence. He renovates us from within. He cleanses us. He teaches us. He shapes and prepares us. Our mind should become disciplined, our desires purified, our service empowered, and our fellowship restored. This is what Paul means when he says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Brethren, this is the promise. The indwelling of Christ is not merely about personal improvement. It's about preparation for glory, for eternal life in the kingdom of God. The Spirit that dwells in us today is the same power that will raise us from the dead later. As we walk with Christ in this life, we are learning to live in the home he will one day perfect. A home not made with hands, but glorified in eternity. Brethren, Munger's book ends with a quiet yet powerful truth, one that we all should agree with. Christ wants more than a room in our heart. He wants the whole heart. And so when we allow him to enter into every room in our heart, our thoughts, our desires, our prayers, our work, and even our secrets, he will fill it with his Spirit, his peace, and his purpose. Therefore, let us continue the challenging work of cleaning our hearts and making it Christ's dwelling.